You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And in our study on Sunday, and we reminded ourselves that we are in the light of God's Word, in the light of history, we are in a warfare, and so we needed to understand or be refreshed, reminded about the warfare. How does it work? We don't look out the window, we look out the window, we don't see it. So, in the light of that, and doing that, because it's quite extensive in thought, but at least a little, over if I can in the Deuteronomy, but before I do that, just remind yourself, in our world at the moment, people are quite good, young and old, at using smartphones and computers and internet and all of that. They're very good at it. They know how to push the buttons and slide their fingers, you know, however you do it. You slide your finger and move everything. And you do that. And they're very good at it. And so, they do it. And that's, so it's a very big, in our world at the moment, electronic world, it is a very big part of our lives. And so my question then to us is, how much or what part of your life is the electronic technology, smartphone, internet, and all of those things, what measure or what part of your life do they have? And in the pot during a day, sometimes people have it during the night, and people are busy. And therefore, it helps us to know where we're going and what we're knowing and what we're doing. It helps us to know all these things. And we look to it, that system that we carry and understand, we look to that system to give us a wonderful daily outworking of our general lives. And we count on it in more ways than one. Now, the only way you'll really appreciate that, I guess, is if we took it away from you tonight and took it all away and left you with none of it. So we're going to go home with no smartphone, no computer, no internet, or whatever it is, it's all gone. How well would you do tomorrow? To what measure is it part of your life tomorrow? It's a large part of our life, no question about it. And add to that, that is limited though. So we can use all of the technology in the electronic world. But when it comes to beyond that, for our safety and security and protection and provision in many ways, we're counting on the local government and the national government, are we not? We're counting on their military, we're counting on the police force, we're counting on the gas prices and everything else, and commercially and everything. We're counting on it. That's how we live. And we live that way. That's how we live, and you have very little argument about what we just looked at or tried to look at, because it's part of our world. Now I want to move you from that, which you're very familiar with, and you are people. I know you're familiar. You're very smart. In fact, little children run circles around me. They have something I don't even look, and they don't even know what it is. I'm trying to figure out, do I push the left side, the right side, the bottom or the top to make it go on? I make it start, you see. Little kid just go, and they do it. Okay. Having said that, now consider God's Word. When you get saved, and you have all this, and you've given yourself to it, and you understand it, and you have no qualms about using it at all, I'll bet you. Now coming, that's our earthly, fleshly lot. No question. That's how we live. For safety, protection, for daily living. That's how we live. And we're masters. We're good at it. Now, when you get saved, what happens? Now, God, what would happen? Israel was very educated in Egypt. They were not Pharaoh's army, but they certainly understand building pyramids and everything else. So they knew this. When they crossed the Red Sea into the Sinai, all of that knowledge, the wonderful, brilliant Egyptian medicine and everything, embalming and all of those things, all of that disappeared, as it were, was pushed back, and they had a whole new way of life. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And you'll recall verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you. For reason, I want you to hearken, to teach them, for to do them. You have to exercise, just like you do all these computers and smartphones, you exercise them. Exercise my word. That purpose, verse 1, you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Sliding over now, verse 6, in the light of that wonderful context. Keep therefore, verse 6, and do them, for this, what you learn and what you're practicing, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. The Egypt, Syria, and all of the Philistines, they all have whatever. They all have a mutual interlocking of language, etc., to some extent. Israel was taken from Egypt, and all of that education, generation after generation, 400 years, was taken. And now they have a whole new vocabulary. They got a whole new electronic system, as it were. And the old one has to be put aside because they got a new one. Why? They aren't in Egypt anymore. They're saved out of Egypt to Mount Sinai to honor and understand and know God. That's what they're doing. So everything is different. The war is different. The knowledge is different. It's all changed. And so we don't hear them repeating back. They didn't need to do it for 40 years to go back. How did we used to help when you had the mumps in Egypt, make believe? We don't have to do that. We never had to do that. God took care of them, a whole new way of life in the light of the world, still doing everything that they know. They remember that because that was their background. But so when we come to verse 7, I'll read verse 6 again. I just digressed. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall see all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, there isn't any, who hath God so nigh unto them? None. Is the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And verse 8, for what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law? There's no one. They have a whole new vocabulary that to learn it, a whole new relationship, making a difference between evil and good and clean and unclean, etc., etc. The whole world is different. It changed. And therefore, now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so they're going to have all of those wonderful things. So, over to Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, reminding you about us Gentiles, etc. Remember what we just said about your smartphones and everything? We're very apt at doing all that stuff. So, but what happens? here we are, when we come to know, before we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we were just like Israel in Egypt. Chapter 2, verse 2. We are in time past. He walked according to the course of this world system, according to the prince, to the power of the air, that's the devil, the Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the atmosphere, who owns this system? The devil does. And power of the air, and of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, unbelieving, to be unbelieving. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So when we read about Egypt and Israel, and we move over to our lot and our life, we're in the same place they were, only we aren't in Egypt, we're in the world generally. Now, so God, having done that, what are you going to do? On verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved. So now, moving quickly, over to Romans chapter 12, and you'll put it together. Romans in chapter 12. And you will note, please, and in Romans in chapter 12, picking up, please, verse 1, context in the light of all that the 11 chapters before. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and you're doing that because the end of chapter 11, verse 36, for of him, remember, 11, 36, for of him, of God, all of it, he's the source, and through him, he's the one that maintains the whole business of creation. And to him, he's the object of all that he created. Are all things, not some things, all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one. God saved us in a most wonderful way. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, most logical thing to do. Now, verse 2. And be not conformed. Don't let the world system that you're used to. It'd be like saying to Israel, "Don't you were in Egypt? This is what you did in Egypt. You aren't making bricks anymore. You aren't trying to figure out the medicines. You don't have, it's a whole other world." Therefore, in verse 2, be not conformed. Don't let this world be the governing factor for our living and our safety and our security. It's a whole new world. I want to look at that world because I want to exercise it. If I don't know how to exercise the world, I can't enjoy being a new creature in Christ Jesus. I can't enjoy old things that passed away, all things to become new. I can't enjoy anything. I'm there. I read the Bible. Hang on, we'll do it. Verse 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How so? By the renewing of your mind. So what did Israel have to do? They were very familiar, the father and the grandfather and the great-grandfather. They were all familiar with Egypt. They got to get re-educated. And that's why God gave his word. That's why we read Deuteronomy chapter 4. They're supposed to go and be re-educated in your thinking. God, when we get saved, what do we, Ephesians 2 again. When we get saved, we got to get re-educated, rethink everything. It's all new, different, not earthly, not fleshly. It's new. Therefore, be renewing of your mind, the purpose that you may prove and put to the test what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're doing. So God, now, so what are we saying? When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you want to have a whole wonderful change in your whole thinking, locally, nationally, internally, externally. It's a whole new thing. You're still here, but you're not here. Hang on, over if I can, in the light of that, over to, well, and just, and without turning there, just for the, put it together so you know it and remind yourself. Think of Philippians 2 and 12. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That's what to do. And why are you going to do that? Verse 13, because it is God in you that is doing exceedingly pleasing all of the wonderful things in your life. God has a wonderful plan for your life. We've shared it 7,000 times. And that plan is what we're supposed to be looking at that we never had till we got saved. That's a whole new world. I need to understand that. And if you want, well, do that one anyway. Over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 2, you know it. Each time I want you to lock on to it, though. It's one thing to read the scriptures. It's another thing to let them get a hold of you. And you have to let, you have to keep looking and reading and looking, and God will make it work. Hang on, we may not get far, but a little. Ephesians chapter 2, going directly if I can. Remember, we just read it. Now slide down, being to verse 10. Now verse 9, not by works, lest any man should boast. So it's no maneuvering of the flesh. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Verse 10, 4. What's the reason? 4. Why isn't it about us? Because we are his workmanship, created, new creatures in Christ, created where? How? When? We're created in Christ Jesus for what reason? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained, before you were ever created, before anything was ever created, God had you in mind. That's how you're in planet Earth. Our declaration says it. God is our creator. And therefore, in verse 10 again, which God before hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has a wonderful plan for your life. When did it start? The moment you got saved. Now, you got the old life, the old nature. We're going to look. You'll never look at all these things tonight, but you got your old nature. You have to battle. And we're going to. It's the way to handle that properly. I know. I need to know how to handle that rascal that's inside of me, that old nature, so that I can enjoy what God is going to do in my life and have all of the benefits. He is the workman. It is his working. I'm to work out with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what I'm going to do. God is not fine. I can't work out anyone else's plan. I only can work out my plan. And you can only work out your plan. And it all comes together in Christ Jesus, who does most wonderful things for us and in us and about us. Now, having said that, and keep, so we're going to be the renewing of your mind, like in Peter we did on Sunday. Gird up the, 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. They had robes, they had to go in conflict, battle, and they would take a girdle or a belt, tighten everything up so there's nothing loose, so they could go in combat, into combat. Fight the good fight, Timothy. War the good warfare, Timothy. War it. Why would you say that, God? Because we're at war. No, we are. What we weren't, no, in Egypt. We didn't fight anybody. Israel's army, the Egyptian army did whatever they had to do. But we're just slaves in bondage, living in the system. What are we doing? We're living in the local national system. That's what we're doing. And we try to live in this system. It's, we don't control it in any way. It's out of control, actually, or in control, if you're going to look at it from the devil's standpoint. So here we are, and God, we're trying to do for everything in our little things, and we can do them, but God, there's a whole other way we're going to miss out because the system isn't going to keep us. The system doesn't save us. The system isn't God. The system, the devil isn't God. None of the sin stuff is going to save us. None of it. We're trusting something as if we're being taken down the highway. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, over if I can, please, to pick up, and you'll see it John chapter 10, John chapter 17 better. No, I'm going to go to John 18 before I go to 17, so you see it. Now, here's our battlefield, and your battlefield is no longer in the world. I tried to share that Sunday. It isn't in the world anymore. Well, we think it is. No, it ain't. I mean, it isn't. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. But it is. Not according to God, and not according to the presence of God in whom we sit. It isn't in this world. No, sir. John chapter 18, here's Pontius Pilate before his crucifixion, and going, if I can, to verse 36, I should say. 18:36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not, not of this world system. And then, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence." It is not here. It's not here. So the world system is godless. The world system has no interest, no intent to include God's word or God. None whatsoever. And if you're waiting for it, we're going to do it. We'll never make it all. But mind you that. So the world, we aren't going to help the world system by helping them get the biblical truths. Because the biblical truths, the world system doesn't want them, ever. So we're going to bring the Bible into the system. No, you aren't. It never works. It never has. You won't find it. The only way you'll find it is in our wonderful pilgrims and the founding of our country. Why? Because what happened? As a body of people, they looked to God, trusted God, and they wanted to be able to worship God in the freedom to do so, having the freedom to do so. And that's what they wanted. God honored that. That's why you got the Declaration, the only one in all the world. The Declaration, there is none other in history. Wow. Now, so here we are, and Pilate, verse 37, Pilate said unto him, "Thou art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is the truth heareth my voice." Now, back up to verse 37. Verse 36, I should say. "If my kingdom were of this world," then it isn't. It isn't. Over to chapter 17. It's not of this world. Okay, so here we are sitting here. Chapter 17. May I go to verse 14? The Lord's talk, perfect humanity talking to the Father before he goes out to the garden and to crucifixion. 17:14. "I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them because," why? "Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now, so when you got saved, Jesus said, "I'm not trying to make kingdom here. I'm not trying to make this a better. This is condemned. The building's condemned. It has to go down. So I'm not trying to save the building. I'm trying to save people that are around and in the building. That's what I'm trying to do. So therefore, I'm not fighting anybody. I'm 911 out to rescue." Out to rescue anyone that would help me, need help. That's what I'm doing. God, that's what you said. And so are you. That's all you're doing if you're a believer. I'm not of the world, he said, and neither are you.
But we are.
No, you ain't. You're not. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So you want to know? You're not. If the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I don't. This is not my kingdom. I'm not trying to do anything except save you out of it." That's why he'll say, "I didn't come to send peace to a family. I came to send a sword, to take mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, to find a person, and no matter what their relationships, no matter what their family, I want to find a whosoever that will believe. And I saved them out of the whole thing. I didn't come to send peace, you know what, John 10, but a sword to your family. That's what I sent. Because you're all part of the system. I got to save you out of it. But when you get saved out of it, you don't belong to it. But we do. No, you don't. But we think we do, and we act as if we do, and we believe we do for all practical purposes. But we don't. We don't belong to the system. God saved us out of it. We're in it, but not of it. So now, having said that, over to Colossians and chapter 1. You'll see it. God says that all kinds of ways for us and in us, about us. And so therefore, Colossians chapter 1, you'll see, picking up, please, in the great prayer, that's where you want to know how to pray, what to pray, read the biblical prayers in the epistles, etc. Colossians chapter 1, picking up, please, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We belong to a whole new family. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. My kingdom is not of this world, and you don't belong in this world either. I don't belong in this world. I came to save whosoever on the cross. And when I saved you, I took you out of the system. You're in the system, but you don't belong to it. Period. So therefore, you don't look to the system and try to make the system be your savior. God's the savior. God's a wonderful, wonderful savior. And you're looking for God to take care of you in every way, shape, or form. Therefore, over to Romans in chapter 8. And we talked about formidable sheep. In other words, how do you go against the sheep? The sheep are so vulnerable. All we like sheep have gone astray. Who? And we make each one to go their own way. So, as sheep, not as wolves, not as lions, as sheep. Because the shepherd, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, what are we representing? We're representing a crucified, risen Christ, who is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb, and we're the sheep. We represent him, not as lions, as sheep. Therefore, Romans 8, we shared what's so awesome, one about the whole thing. Because as we're in the world as sheep, and we don't belong in the system, so God, what have we got? Romans 8 and verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed, put to death all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, to go to the slaughterhouse. Wow, that's how the world sees us. The world, I didn't say church or religion. That's how they see a God in Christ, who they reject and crucified, in you. If you're saved, you know the Lord is your Savior. That's what's happening. That's the reason you got a problem. Where's the difference? When you receive Christ as your Savior, your whole life changed. Because he isn't battling the flesh. He crucified the flesh. That's why you're going to go, Romans 6:11 and all of that. Well, I'll turn there. You're right there. Turn your page. I'm coming right back here. Romans 6, 11. You know it, but let it lock in each time. Lock it in. Likewise, reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we shared it on Sunday. Dead people don't care about mortgage. They don't care about the weather. They don't care whether there's a war or no war. They don't care. And if you have a problem with that, or you want to have a little exercise, go to the nearest cemetery. There's one right down the street, very old. And go sit in front of one of the stones and tell them all that's happening in the world. And tell them. And then watch the stone shiver as you tell them. Tell them what's happening. They say, wow, wow, wow. Thomas Jefferson and all of you guys, are you going to get worried? No. No. Nope. They're dead. Reckon yourself dead. So to what? The system. But we're in the system. We got to go. That's why we got all. But boy, but God, that means they got to pay attention and practice your word in a very practical, wonderful, common sense way. And I do that. So I say, well, I'm not. Very few Christians do this now. They don't do that. To have the Bible their working source? Come on. They come, they go, get a little bit here, a little bit there, remember something. Can they put the pieces together? Not always at all. But they don't care. It's enough. You went to church, did it. Did it. Ah, it's good. No, it isn't. It isn't because you're unable to put God. It's a whole new life. And if that life was being exercised, our lives would, the more we exercise the life, I should say, the more we understand it, the better off we are. Because I understand being a new creature in Christ. I understand the battlefield. And I'm not trying to fix everything because it's unfixable. Now, that doesn't mean you're doing everything as a citizen and everything. I can't get into everything. And Peter, you know, Peter had his sword. And he cut off in the garden, the guy coming after our Lord in the garden, cut off his ear, and the Lord said, put your sword back. And then the Lord said, put your sword back. And then, was there more? Luke chapter 22. Hang on to this, I didn't mean to drift, and I did, so there we go. Luke 22. Now remember what Peter did. The Lord told him, put the sword back in your sheath. Okay, he didn't get rid of his gun. He kept it. He kept it. Now, chapter 22, Luke, help me again, Lord. Therefore, verse 34. And he said to Peter, I will tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? In other words, when I sent you out, were you ever missing anything on your assignment? God, do you equip us for the assignment 1,000%? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where we're at. We're riding down a corridor all these years. That's what we do. God to take care of it. Absolutely. Therefore, but, verse 36, then said he unto them, but now I'm going to be crucified and you guys are left on planet Earth. But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. You need your purse. When I'm leading you out like in the wilderness, you don't need medicine, you don't need anything. But when you're back in the system, in the middle of it, but not in it, you're going to have a what? A purse. You better have some money. And likewise, his scrip. And he that hath not sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Go buy a sword. Go buy one. You don't have one. Verse 37. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. I'm going to go to the cross. And he was reckoned, counted, calculated, among the transgressors, counted as a criminal. For the things concerning me have an end. I'm gonna be risen. It's gonna be all over for me. I'm gonna go to the right hand of God. Verse 38. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Now they got the message. What did they get? Well, we got one sword, we better have two. How many of you guys got a sword? How many of you guys, you ought to have swords? No, the Lord said, you don't need a lot of swords. A two's enough. In other words, don't make a big deal. I've got to have six guns and one Tommy gun, right? I mean, you got it. Don't do that, he said. Just relax, but make sure you got whatever you need. Now, having said that, back over to Romans 8. Here we are, just sheep. Sheep is counted to the slaughter. And in the process, remember now, keep in mind, we are in enemy territory. You're still in the world, even though you're saved and of it, in it, but not of it. You're in the world system. Monday, Tuesday, every day, 24 hours a day, on the whole planet Earth. And you're on the world system on their terms. Not on your terms, not on God's terms. That tells you don't have a lot for you in the world system. Because it isn't on your terms, it's on their terms, it's their territory, we're sitting in it. We're not of it, but we're in it. Now, why are they after us? Where's the war? The war is against Christ, who is taking people out because he's condemned the world. And therefore, in verse 37, 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that's what we are. We're sheep representing him. And Christ in you is able to go and do exceeding above all that you ask or think. And God's going to keep you on his terms. But I'm not trying to make the world better. I'm not trying to make my life better. God, I want to eat enough Cheerios. I want to eat enough everything so that I'd be able to keep going. Now, that doesn't mean you don't take your Cheerios and stuff. You do. But it isn't what I'm counting on. The reason I'm here, we just shared it, did we not, today? God, you can take my heart, but you can't take my life. You could take my heart out, but you can't stop my life. See, my life isn't in my heart, or my liver, or my spleen. My life is in you, God. Christ, who is our life. That's where my life is. So you can't touch that. You can do what you want. Matthew chapter 10, etc. They could take your head off. God said that. Don't worry about it. If I want that to happen, you can lose your head. Your head's just full of brains. But you want brains. It's just a whole lot of stuff up there. Better than a computer. But it's the person inside who has the brains, who has the heart, who has the liver, who has the toes. That's why, go back over with me to chapter 6 again, and you'll see it in chapter 6. Picking up, if I can, in verse, remember what we read in verse 11, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, alive unto God. Sliding down, verse 13, neither yield, present ye, you, your members, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, liver, heart, head, brains. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, you live inside of your body, unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, brain, all those things, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. God, it's your body, like we shared on Sunday. It doesn't belong to me anymore. It doesn't belong to you if you're saved. It's his body. And he wants to outwork a wonderful life and a wonderful thing. And you're going to have to what? Understand there's a war in your heart. Chapter 7, verse 18. 7 and 18. Romans 7 or 18. For I know, said Paul, that in me, that is in my flesh, my human body and everything, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. I would like to do better and think better, but it doesn't come out that way. It ends up with my thoughts, my thinking, my rationale, how I do things. It ends up my making something right that could be totally wrong, but I make it right, whatever, because I'm trying to use my head and my brains. And God, what'd you do? God, you gave us a wonderful, wonderful new life to be able to understand. We can't do it ourselves. Therefore, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Because I got the same brain, the same hearts, same everything. When I get saved, that's true. You got your old nature, and it doesn't go. You got a war. But how are you going to handle the war? Be dead. So you can tackle the spiritual war. You can't tackle the spiritual war unless you're dead. And you don't have to fight this. You don't fight your old nature. You don't fight the world system. You don't have to fight it because you won't win. God never told you to fight the world system. Change the world system. Well, to the measure you can, depending on the government. Our government was rather unique. Pilgrims, Constitution, Declaration. We could do things as a government. Find another place you can do that, apart from Israel of old. You can't. So God, here we are looking, and God, we can't solve it, wretched man that I am, but God, you have. And therefore, that chapter 8, all of that's about it. Back over to chapter 8, verse 38. Verse 37, 8 and 37, in light of all of that. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So no matter what, tribulation, power, distress, persecution, you name what it is, it doesn't matter. Because that isn't your problem anymore. Christ crucified you and gave you a wonderful relationship to who he is. And you're sheep in the middle of the mess. But you're different. You're not of the world. The world hates you because you're not of it. It's Christ in you that's the problem. That's why people don't talk about being saved and share their testimony, because they want to have a Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? He wanted to keep his job. Why did he want to keep his job? Because if he told that he believed in the Messiah, the Christ, he would have lost his job with the Pharisees. He didn't want to lose his job, and God condemned him for that. And so God, here we are looking. It isn't about our job or our home, our family, our health, our wealth. All of that exists, and we try to manage it as best we can and in a common sense way. And when it opposes God, then what do? Without jumping, we've got to quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll close with that. 2 Corinthians, we hope you got a little bit. It's an awful lot. To have to, you should have all this anyway. What we're talking about is the simple Christian life. How to live a normal life. How many Christians live a normal Christian life? We go to church. I didn't ask that. How many Christians live the normal Christian life that God has? I don't. And it isn't because of, and that's why we're where we are religiously and otherwise. Over if I can, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and you know it. And appreciate your patience and everything as we wander through this. Chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, We do not war after the flesh. So you can't do it in the normal way, politics, you can't, it isn't that system. You aren't going to win that way. That doesn't mean you don't vote right. That doesn't mean you don't do everything you can. But you aren't counting on it. You do what you can as best you can when you can. Now, so therefore, the warfare, and that's the same word by that you have in 1 Timothy 1:18, war, the good warfare. It's a good warfare. So it isn't a bad one. So I got to roll up my sleeve. I want to find the war. I want to be able to handle the war that I'm in. I don't want to be stupid about it. I'm part of the enemy. I don't even mean to be. Therefore, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, swords, etc., but mighty through God, but you need it for protection. The military war, you have to go to war, they have the police force, you have all of these wonderful things. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, how on earth do we do that? Verse 5, casting down imagination, your thought process, by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2, to know the perfect will of God. Wow. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Having pizza, what kind of pizza to have tonight, make believe, that isn't against the knowledge of God. God said, whatever you eat or what? Whatever you drink, do it to my glory. So the normal life, I'm not sitting casting down everything in my little head. It's only when in my head it opposes God and his word. That I'm against. But the normal life, you live a normal life, you want to watch Portia Face's life or how to build an igloo or whatever you want to do, you do all that. But when it comes against God, that's when you wake up and that's when you say something. So you can live a normal, wonderful life, relaxed, until the problems come in your head and someone says, well, this, and hold it, that's not right. God, what I'm going to go, Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to go by God's word. And God tells me to, God wins, the thought that I have in my head loses. Whatever I got in my little brain and on my mouth and in my head loses. God wins, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it's a wonderful, simple reality. And people say, well, I can't just stop everything. God never asked you to stop everything. He asked you to pay attention to what he said in the first place. He didn't tell you to stop thinking. He didn't tell you to stop existing. You got to go to work. You got to go to school. You got to eat your food. You got to do a whole lot of things in this day. But when it gets imposes God, opposes his word, nothing doing. That thought goes down. God's word wins. That's what it does. So the more I know God's word, the more comfortable, the more quick I am to line up with it. So my mind doesn't get sidetracked and caught off the path over to a side. Remember, we just did it Sunday back ago. God is happy. And God expects his people to be happy. He expects that. That's what he wants. And we shared happiness.